The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, RTE management faced the Joint Committee on Arts, Media and Communications, Culture and Sport earlier today to answer questions on pay of presenters and staff and to also examine pensions and funding. Well, our reporter Emily Keegan was following the Media Committee meeting and she joins me now in the studio here. And in a moment, we will be speaking to Sinead Gibney of the Social Democrats, who's obviously a member of that committee. To come to you first, the background, I think, Emily, just to remind people of what has brought RTE back in front of this committee. That part was planned, but amidst such controversy.
Yeah, because as you mentioned there, this committee was due to talk about funding and pensions, and very little time was spent actually talking about funding and pensions. A lot of it was to do with this pay controversy. It's after RTE confirmed last Thursday that it revisited its list of top 10 highest earning presenters, and it now includes Derek Mooney after they reconsidered what constitutes a presenter. He had been reclassified as a producer in 2020, so he wasn't among the top paid presenters until now, and he's now number 8 on the list for 2024 and 7th for 2025. So yesterday, Kevin Backhurst, Director General of RTE, met with the media minister, and after that meeting he said he believed that all the issues with presenter pay had been identified and that RTE has now paid a price for their transparency. So that was fleshed out a little bit more in the committee today. In his opening statement to the committee, Kevin Backhurst said that RTE remains committed to being more transparent with the public and that this latest controversy was a result of that. He said it's regrettable that a sincere attempt to be more open has come to be categorised as a scandal. Now, it was also revealed that former RTE Director General Dee Forbes instructed that Derek Mooney be considered a producer. So it was kind of her directing that. And then Kevin Backhurst said they had taken a different view, but did clarify that this controversy is very different to the one involving Ryan Tuberty. He said that the issue in 2023 was that the top 10 earners list was incorrect, but this time it's around categorisation and there are no hidden payments. He went on to say he doesn't know why the issue wasn't discovered sooner, but he hopes that this is the end of the pay scandals now.
As I said previously, I absolutely hope so. There's nothing we know about that is untoward, and even this was a categorisation. It was not a hidden payment to Derry. But, you know, I don't want to guarantee that there's nothing that we'll discover, because that means if we discover something, there's no incentive for me to put it in the public domain, which I want to do. So if we discover what I said to the minister yesterday, which I think he was pleased about, was if there's anything else, we will bring it into the public domain as soon as possible.
OK, so that's what he said about that particular issue. But then over the course of the hearing, other issues came to light in terms of what other people are earning in the organisation.
Yeah, so the RTE boss said that there could actually be people working in the broadcaster who earn more than him. And now people might remember that he previously said no one at RTE should earn more than he does. He has a basic salary of 250,000 with a car allowance of 25,000 and a pension contribution of 62,500. But the Oireachtas Media Committee heard today that some presenters are working for independent production companies and they're paid separately for that to their salary or their direct work.
So to be clear, this is a presenter who has perhaps a programme directly but then provides a second service,
exactly,
maybe a documentary or something,
yeah,
and they do that through a separate production
through
company.
Through a separate production company. And an example of that would be Oliver Callan, whose name was mentioned throughout the committee. So he has, of course, his radio show on RTE Radio 1, but then he also has his Callan's Kicks satirical show. And for that, he is paid through a production company, which he is actually the director of. It was also revealed later on in the committee that he's paid through a third production company, which he isn't the director of, but is listed under for some of his TV pieces that he does for RTE as well. So TDs and senators were a bit shocked to hear that he's paid through three separate routes of income, but it's only his salary which is actually publicly put out there. And Kevin Backhurst did admit that if these three forms of income were put together, he most likely would be on the list of top 10 earners in RTE. So I think people will be really shocked to hear that, because it seems like more and more names are being added to the list as we go. And Kevin Backhurst also said that the media minister asked him during their meeting yesterday if it's possible to publish the full figures for people like this going forward, so that we know exactly how much they are paid by RTE.
So that's a full aggregate for all of your incomes from
RTE,
notwithstanding what the source is.
Yes, so not just your salary, for everything you're paid through separate production companies too. And the Director General says that they're reviewing that, but they need legal advice.
Yeah, he seemed to be resisting that and saying that that's not what's happening in other organisations, but it didn't seem like the committee were satisfied with that answer. And the Fine Gael Senator, Evan Coolan, who I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be familiar with, she's obviously now a senator, having formerly worked in the sports section of RTE. She raised her own personal experience. What did she have to say?
Yeah, so she said that during her time there that she had asked repeatedly to be reclassified as a presenter and that the RTE system was a two-tier approach. She said that it's the wrong model and that it's not fair. So she would have been paid the salary for a multimedia reporter, which is much lower than what a presenter can be paid. And her argument was that there are plenty of people working within RTE who are asking to be paid more because they're doing this work. They believe that they deserve to be paid more and that those agreements aren't being met.
Okay, and we always also saw reference to the family of Sean Rocks and their difficulties with the pension that he's receiving, given how he was classified. And she mentioned that today too.
Yeah, of course, because the family of Sean Rocks have said that they actually are being forced to leave their home at the end of July. They're coming to extreme financial difficulty as a result of this. That was handled very sensitively by the TDs and senators today. Kevin Backard said that he has been speaking with the widow of Sean Rocks. So it will be interesting to see how that one develops and if there's anything done to support those there and if any reclassification can be done now.
So did you have any sense at the end of this, Emily, that the TDs and senators were satisfied with the answers that they got from RTE?
Definitely not. So the chair of the committee, Labour's Alan Kelly, actually closed out the session by saying that they still have no transparency on how people are being paid. I think they actually seemed even more confused when we start to see all these kind of production companies coming into it. So there's definitely still a lot more questions. And I know it was mentioned by one of the TDs or senators, I can't remember who now, that it's likely they'll be back in 6 months' time with another situation like this again.
OK, well, one of those in attendance today was Sinead Gibney. Sinead, thanks for joining us here on The Hard Shoulder. So Alan Kelly did say that that top 10 list of presenters, which has been published for a number of years now by RTE, is a waste of space. Would you agree?
Thanks for having me on, Ciara. I mean, I think Emily's assessment there is really helpful. Really what the issue is if you're going to talk about transparency, if you're going to say that that's the, you know, the direction of travel or the kind of new principle that the organization is trying to embrace, and then at every step we're seeing new revelations which kind of change the rankings, for example, or new revelations in the committee around the actual classification. And, you know, I don't know that in all instances it's necessarily untoward, but I think there's certainly negligence there in terms of, when I think of transparency, what I want is open, comprehensive, easy to understand. And that's not what's happening here. I mean, it essentially made a mockery of this listing system, and it really seems to be of little value anymore if every time we have them in, we're learning new things. And in the run up to it, obviously, there's new details emerging that really make these claims around transparency really, ridiculous.
In terms of, I suppose, that full transparency, in terms of really understanding what is the take-home salary of presenters working within that organisation, or producers working as presenters within the organisation, do we need to have now a system whereby their entire package, an aggregate of all of their earnings, whether that's directly with RTE or through production companies, is actually published?
Well, I mean, I don't think RTE can publish earnings that happen outside of RTE. So I don't know how that could happen. And obviously that is the case where people might be contributors, or that they work in RTE in different ways and then might work for other places as well. And I know obviously that's part of kind of what got us here, right, is that some of those issues around the promotions that high paid presenters were engaged in really supplemented their salary to quite kind of staggering amounts. So I do think they need to look at that, and we need to figure out, or RTE needs to figure out, how they can quantify it. And then I also think there needs to be better engagement with the trade unions and better. And I asked about this. I asked Kevin Back first about his engagement with the unions. He said it was good and better than it had been, and that they do engage with them. But I mean, for me, like, Yvonne's contribution was really important, because as somebody who worked there, she spoke about that two-tier system. And for me, like, this is a public sector organization. There are very rigorous pay scales and terms and conditions on how public sector employees are paid and their terms and conditions. And a lot of that is done through negotiations with unions. So for me, what's really confusing is just at every stage, there seems to be more and more exceptions. Like these allowances, for example, which have led to a very difficult situation for Sean Rock's family, like that's those allowances, if they are being handed out all the time, like they are going to create these kinds of issues. But that's not what I'm familiar with from working in the public sector. Like that is not normal to be handing out so many allowances. And I appreciate that in a media environment, you have creativity as a factor, which kind of changes things. You also have the kind of talent idea where people obviously, because of their identity, simply command more pay, right? But you have other ways in which across the public sector, those pay scales get, I suppose, confused, you know, or not confused, but they have to be challenged by things like specialist expertise, for example, in the legal space or in the technology space. So I don't think it's insurmountable to find a model which is consistent, which complies with public sector guidelines around pay and terms and conditions, and which most importantly provides fairness to people across the organization. Like the thing for me is, not only do we now have more details about top earners, but I'm sure for everybody who's in RTE, in the lower rungs of the organization, where morale is absolutely at rock bottom right now because of all of this. So they're hearing all of that, but not only that, but now a whole 2-3 hour session with a committee where we're supposed to be focused on pensions and funding and the really critical questions about RTE are actually hoovered up by these more controversial questions around top paid earners. Like, so that for me is like, I don't think, I was very frustrated with the last time we had RTE in where there was so many questions around redundancies essentially, and I wanted to talk about the public service broadcasting mandate of the organisation and we didn't get near it. I was the only one, or one of only maybe two or three, who actually went anywhere near that. And I think the same happened again today, where we're just not getting to those root issues. That's our role as an oversight committee. We should be talking about public service broadcasting, for example, in the context that RTE is outsourcing everything right now. Like it transpired today that the last time they were in, I asked Kevin Backhurst about this, about the outsourcing model, and he spoke about how essentially they're going to keep news, current affairs, sport, and outsource everything else. And today I asked about Up for the Match, which is a program that is being now outsourced. And I said, you know, is that not sport? And he kind of changed his answer as I was speaking to him. He said first it was sport and then he said, no, it was a discussion program. So for me, like there is a real threat to what we value as a nation in our state broadcaster, which is balance, which is quality, evidence-based information, but also what the institution holds and contains by keeping those things in-house. All of that, I think, is being compromised right now because of this outsourcing model. And it is not to belittle in any way the creative commercial sector who they outsource to. But I think the loss of that institutional knowledge is really, really something we should be focusing on and we didn't get near today.
Kevin Backhurst previously said that nobody should earn more than him. Yet today we heard there may be, and that was the phrase used, there may be people effectively doing so in an organisation of 2,000 people or thereabouts. Why is it so difficult, do you think, at this point to get complete clarity on who is earning more than the DG and who isn't?
Yeah, I mean, I was absolutely gobsmacked by that because that seemed to me to be an absolutely clear kind of red line that came out a few months ago where absolutely that rule about not being paid more was to be held and observed. And then because of his pay rise, essentially, then we now have a situation. And not only that, but also because of the different ways in which presenters are being paid and that they may have income streams from multiple sources directly from RTE as well as production companies that they either own or are paid by, that can inflate their wages to a point where they may well be earning more from the director general. So it just seems to, again, like it just makes a mockery of that kind of claim of transparency when all of these things just are unearthed in a discussion in, you know, live in committee. Like that is not how this should be happening.
And yet to be fair, RTE said, look, there's no side deals here, but surely the existence of these separate production company arrangements creates the perception that there could be loopholes.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it goes back to the point, like transparency isn't about, it's not just about the maybe more nefarious issues which have arisen in RTE's past, but it is also about just full and comprehensive and easy to understand information. That's what the public needs. That's what the public deserves. It is our money. It is our taxpayers' money that goes in. So, like, that's why for me, you know, it goes back to the point about how do you define transparency and what are you trying to achieve with it? And like I was asking fairly boring governance questions today because that's what we should be doing. Like we shouldn't be talking about these salacious numbers and household names. And I feel for people, like I don't think it's pleasant for people to have their livelihoods discussed in this way. But that is, you know, the reality for people. But honestly, where we should be at with a committee is talking about the more dry governance, finance, oversight that we should be engaged right. in of the organisation.
Sinead Gibney, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Rathdown, a member of the Joint Committee on Arts, Media, Communications, Culture and Sport, and Emily Keegan, our News Talk reporter. Thanks for that.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.